These are the recollections of Turner Ashby. Memories of the years when the oceans rose. The several states were separated asunder. Chapter 2. We did not hear from Lays Fitzgerald, our dear Lays, for more than a week. That's a long time. The trip to Chicago on the Children's Christian Mission bus shouldn't have taken all that many days. Authorities were contacted, but said nothing except communication was not what it once was. I could have told them that. Everybody knew that. Finally, her parents and my parents, myself and some of her friends received this Twitter. Doing fine. Bus trip slow. Can't talk now, love Lays. Now what the hell that meant, I don't know. I received that simple text and the chip behind my left eye. It went ping, I saw the message, comprehended it, stored it. Those chips can take over 500,000 gigabytes of information all at once, and all we got was doing fine. Later that week, we received, cannot cross, not cross with an X, out of the Shenandoah, all the Potomac rivers at Harper's Ferry. Held up, Maryland may not honor our Virginia passports. Intend to turn back. If they let us, love Lays. She included a bill for the Motel 12 where they were being put up. Several states, formerly the United States, all 53 of them, did not agree on much back in those days. But they did agree that for the time being, for a limited time, for the good of their citizens, for the good of trade, that's always important to someone, for the health of their infant nations, travel and wanderings of the peoples should be curtailed. We called it the stay put. It lasted 3 years. Lays had taken a bus right into the middle of it. Considering ridding myself of my chip, your Lays. I received that Twitter and two others that nobody else got. This is the second. Thought of Sam Bellows, thought of the trail, thought of walking, love Lays. And finally, I do love leaves under my feet. I could kiss you, your lost Lays. That was all. There was nothing more. Now, meanwhile, I have always been partial to sand. Meanwhile, the oceans stopped rising for a time in that summer of 2031. Muddied high water marks stained the first and second floor windows of downtown Richmond buildings. Ocean-going fish were left flopping on Market Street. The experts, and oh, there were so many experts, were sensing a reversing trend. People looked toward the sky, and they saw the sun, they saw the light, and they saw hope. This was good, but it was wrong. Like following a bum tip on the stock market or playing out a bad hand blackjack, the lull was only an illusion, and there are so many illusions that year. 2 feet down, 3 feet up, that's where the oceans were headed. The waters of the world would continue to rise. I don't want our son working on the dikes anymore, my mother said to my father over a July supper of fish. It's a lost cause. My son does not need to die for a lost cause. Would you prefer that he died for a winning cause? My father looked up and realized that his legal mind had once again latched onto the words and not the sentiment. He usually regretted that, especially with my mother. My mother looked down at her fish. We were having a lot of fish lately. And she said, I would prefer that nobody die any more, ever, over taxes, over water, over damn fish. She slid out her chair. She got up. She left the table. She did not cry or scold, although I do believe she threw something, a mid-sized saucepan, I imagine, across the kitchen on her way out. The door slammed. My father's phone rang. He tapped his ear, cleared his throat, and said, Ashby, nodded and said, of course, I'd be honored. He hung up. He stared out mid-distance for a moment, got up, and left the table. He'd just been offered and accepted the position of Attorney General of the newly formed sovereign and independent nation of the Commonwealth of Virginia. He did not finish his fish. Nobody did that night. One of the first acts my father was to perform as Attorney General of Virginia was to write the legal brief that would allow the Commonwealth to build more and higher and, of course, more costly dikes to hold back the seas and, more importantly, the Chesapeake Bay by instituting eminent domain, seizing land, seizing construction property such as bulldozers, road graders, and the like, and more and more cases seizing labor. The tax indentures saw to that precedent. The water got higher, the dikes got higher. I did not return to work on the dikes. I was not saddened by that. As a matter of fact, in the end, the dikes hardly went back to work for themselves. 3 years later, at the end of the hurricane season, round about late September 2034, it was finally and most apparent that a large linked system of towering dikes would be close to useless. Hadn't held back hardly any waters at all. They'd been trying to hold back the waters for a number of years, back into the 20s and maybe the teens, but to no avail. It was finally apparent that the natives of Tidewater, Virginia, would have to make do, would have to live different, perhaps up on stilts or in leaky boats, or leave. And unfortunately, being pinched between a forced migration and the stay put. As an aside, I recall just a few years later, a speculator, everyone was of course a speculator back then. This speculator from New York offered me an absolute once in a lifetime deal on above the waterline property in New York City. Fourth floor, he said. People still living in New York City, he said. It's like a giant Venice, only without the gondolas. I said I'd heard that the fifth floor was guaranteed above water and tidal breaks, but the fourth floor was rather iffy. He said, oh, no, that's not the case at all. That's talking about the Battery. He was offering Midtown prime sites. He wanted $350,000. I offered him $200,000 dominions, that's it. Virginia state currency. He said he'd settle for 40,000 gold. I was about to counteroffer him with my watch when I realized he probably didn't own what he was selling. Often speculators did not. He thought for a moment, rubbed his untrimmed whiskers, and he said he'd settle for the price of a beer. So as far as I know, for the price of a beer, and it was good beer, malty, micro homebrewed, I purchased, and still own, as far as I know, a New York City condominium, Midtown, sixth floor walk-up. Never been up there in all this time to see it. Lays was there once, I'm sure of it. But that's another story. This is how the first part of this story continues. This is the story of our lost Lays. The older and more mature I've gotten, the more I've wondered how Lays's parents could have stood the crushing emotions of not knowing what happened to that Christian mission bus on its way to Chicago. There were the usual excuses, faith in God, a God that was returning the earth to the time of the floods, and faith in the human spirit. Never quite understood that one. But here's what I think the true reason was. The cloudburst. Now, you may have heard of the cloudburst. There wasn't just one. There was a series over the years, beginning in the 20-teens. And here I'm not discussing the weather, I am talking about digitized clouds. All that information stored up there in the ether in a million trillion bytes. It must have been a hacker, probably a Romanian, they're all Romanians, who first came upon the diabolical idea of not erasing or destroying or shifting information, but just slightly skewing the facts. I understand that the first recorded incident was in 2014. It happened to some ball scores one evening. Washington Nationals lost 3-1 instead of 2-1. Somebody got an extra RBI. The virus was simple, confusing, and hard to catch. Scores and statistics of every kind of game were twisted like pretzels. The first cloudburst did seem to focus on games, drive a poker player nuts. Cards and the records, and the next card up, kept changing. Then one day, cloudburst didn't just slightly change the records, changed the rules. I remember once when we were children, I was sure I'd finally beaten Lays in Tiddlyfog. You shook your digitized dice and your head's own personal chip and then moved various tigers and bears around the board of the iCloud. I was sure I'd won finally. I was sure of it. Lays was awful good. Too good at that game. I'd finally won. And then the rules changed. A 7 was a 2 and a 9 was wild. Hadn't been that way the day before. I was crushed and leery. Cloudburst viruses moved on to the stock market, inventories, and census data. Birthdates were shuffled and the leaves of family trees were tossed about. Might pick up an extra sister, lose her the next day. Never could tell, you couldn't be sure. In those days, less and less was printed on paper, so there were no hard copy records. And that's my message here. You couldn't be sure of anything when it came to the digitized realm. And Lays' parents hung on to that uncertainty, that wonderful hope of uncertainty, like a life preserver. To them, it wasn't that their daughter was in harm's way. It was that the cloud had shuffled the information of where she was supposed to be. It would come back. It was very easy to blame everything on the cloud burst. We all did. Those bursts happened all the time, especially to communications. That's all it probably was what they hoped, what they dreamed. I myself dreamed of Lays constantly, powerfully. We were 17. There had to be some way that the chip behind my eye could connect to the chip behind her lovely eyes. Some way that just by thinking I could reach her, that I could rescue her. But there was no answer. And we continued to eat fish. Almost 5 weeks to the day that Lays boarded that bus, Lays' mother called my mother hysterical and sobbing. They'd finally gotten a report from the authorities in the nation of Illinois. The Christian mission bus had arrived in Chicago more than 3 weeks after it left Richmond. Driver was intact. Most of the bus windows were intact. But 15 of the 33 children on board had been impressed in Ohio for tax indentures and sent on to Texas. One child was missing. Lays Fitzgerald, my Lays, had disappeared. She had not arrived in Chicago. Perhaps she never intended to. She had said to me, and only to me, in those messages. She had said Sam, and she had mentioned the trail, most likely the Appalachian Trail. And then I knew, I did believe I knew, where Lays was headed. More recollections come. Turner Ashby.